Alvin Williams is our Raptors Central analyst on Sportsnet. Alvin Williams joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Alvin, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. You know, again, I made the point, we've seen the Raptors lose first games of series before. They've come back and won some of those series. Some of them they've lost. But I came away from the Air Canada Centre Saturday night being a lot more concerned about this loss, frankly, than last year's loss to the Indiana Pacers, because it seemed to me that this was, on several levels, a little more conclusive for the Bucks. How would you compare those two losses?
Yeah, I mean, but it's always like that, especially for me, when I see the first game and the loss, and you wonder, like, I remember wondering last year, I don't know how the Raptors are going to beat Indiana. I thought, you know, they were outmatched as far as, you know, just defensively and the way they were playing. But I had a similar feeling after game one on Saturday. But the one thing, you know, game two comes, you're going to get a better Kyle Lowry, most likely. And then, you know, the strategy behind slowing Milwaukee Bucks down in transition, I think once a team start getting easy baskets early in the game and they start getting to a rhythm early in the game, which the Bucks did by getting out in transition, getting easier buckets, getting Giannis in the paint, finishing, that helped their team tremendously. That allowed the role players, Matthew Dellavedova, that allowed the rookie who's been playing great all year, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, to get comfortable and not really feel the pressure of a playoff game. But game two is going to really be the tell-all, because that's when adjustments are made, and that's when those role players, to see if they can keep stepping up. But I think you're going to get a better Kyle Lowry. I think you're going to get a more focused game plan on how to slow the Bucks down and transition in their half-court offense.
Should we be concerned at all, Alvin? And you know Kyle. Should we be concerned about him saying things like, well, I guess my teammates want me to force shots. I'm going to have to force shots. I'm going to have to take more shots. I mean, I don't think his teammates want him to force shots, do they?
Yeah, I think he used the wrong or the type of language where it doesn't sit well when you're listening, talking about forcing anything. You don't want to force anything. But, you know, he has a lot of responsibility. It was the same as last year. You know, the eyes were all on him, whether he was staying back after the game shooting at 1 o'clock in the morning or leaving the bench against Cleveland. Kyle Lowry is one of those guys who has a mindset where he's going to be okay. You know, and how he articulates it is up for us to determine it, or, you know, to predict it or whatever. But what he's doing is he's getting himself ready for the game. And that's basically what he's doing. The team isn't going to look much into it. The team isn't going to look much into it. So that's the biggest thing. You don't turn your teammates off. You keep that locker room as one. And that's what he's going to do. I talked to him earlier before the playoffs, and he said everyone was focused. You know, that was the word. One word he used was focus, and everyone's ready to play. So I'm sure they're all on the same page.
But, you know, that said, so why do they come out of the gate like that then? You know, on their home court at the tail end of a very consistent season, but they're healthy at this stage. You know, you've got the late additions of Ibaka and Tucker. Why do they come out against a team? You know, it's not like Milwaukee is a surprise to them. They've played them plenty of times this year. They know exactly what they're getting into. Do you have an explanation as to why they come out like that?
I really don't, especially it's a trend throughout the years. And you can't take anything away from, you know, the opposing team. A lot of times when you're coming out and you're on the road, those teams are is them against the world. So they don't have, you know, that same excitement as performing in front of the crowd and that pressure of taking the home game. You want to get one on the road. So when you get a chance to win one out of two, right, your pressures and your approach to the game is different. When you're a home team, you have that pressure that you have to clear the home court. You know, you have to get those wins. So it's a different type of pressure. But at the same time, you know, the Bucks, they're a great defensive team. They have a lot of length on that team. You have Thon Maker, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you have Tony Snell out there on the perimeter, and they can guard, and you have Chris Middleton and Michael Brogdon. That's a very large team. So defensively, they can disrupt a lot of things, especially when it comes to the Raptors' offense. You know, the Raptors are a lot of, you know, not necessarily isolation, but it's a lot of clear out, and it's a lot of pass and cut and pick and roll. And they do a great job talking about the Bucks, deflecting passes, getting out there in passing lanes, contesting shots. So the Raptors are really going to have to make an adjustment on the offensive end. I'm thinking, you know, I say it all the time, use JV. He has to be more than just a screener and a ball reversal guy. He has too much talent just to be out there on the perimeter screening around. He has to get that ball in the paint, kind of like they use Greg Monroe, and make the Bucks make more adjustments on the off on the defensive end. And I think JV is the player that can do that.
In conversation with Alvin Williams on the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brent. You mentioned Greg Monroe, 5-for-11, comes off the bench, 15 rebounds in 25 minutes, plus 15 in the plus minus. I mean, really controls the game when he got out there. You know, Alvin, I thought, and I thought the third quarter where Jason Kidd took Giannis Antetokounmpo out of the game with the fourth foul, went with his second unit. They outscored the Raptors 11-5. To me, that's where the game got away from the Raptors, or I guess more importantly, that's where the game, you know, fell into the Bucks' favor. And we talked to Malcolm Brogdon after the game, and he made an interesting point about, look, when you're playing a team that is missing shots, which is what the Raptors are doing, he said it's incumbent on you to get the rebounds. I mean, you've got to start getting defensive rebounds. And I think one of the things they did really well is when the Raptors did miss those shots, by and large, it was the Bucks that got the rebound. And now you can get in transition, right? Because the other guys are still in your end of the court. You get the defensive rebound, you get the ball out, you can get in transition and get some easy baskets.
Definitely. And that's it. You know, defense doesn't stop until you secure that rebound. You know, so you can play defense as long as you want, but if you don't get that rebound and give yourself an opportunity to get out in transition, then you'll be on a defensive end for a long time. So the Raptors really have to make a conscious effort throughout their offense, taking the right shot, having floor balance, making sure everyone's getting back, sprinting back, and in position to get back. Because that's a big part of the Bucks. You know, they're not a great outside shooting team. They're going to try to get to that paint. You know, they're going to try to get to attack the basket and use their length on the offensive end. So the Raptors really have to have – they have to be almost deliberate in their offense as far as how it's going to affect their defensive ability to get back in transition. And that's making mention of Jonas Valanciunas being involved in the game more often on an offensive end. But when you have that, you know, you see when Giannis was taken out the game, they went into a matchup where they had Chris Middleton using a post-up ability. He didn't make shots all game. But once he went in there and started using the post-up because Corey Joseph was guarding him or the guards were a little too small for him, they made a great adjustment by using that advantage. And the Raptors now, they're going to have to go to the drawing board and maybe have a little bit more size in there on the perimeter to guard someone like Chris Middleton.
You know, obviously job one for the Raptors is to get even up this series. But, you know, looking around at the Eastern Conference, you know, and again, one game in, but the notion that the conference is in play this year certainly seems to be still there. You know, Cleveland look, you know, maybe the switch is still to be flipped, but they looked a whole lot like they've looked for great long stretches of this season. Boston lost. You know, the Wizards looked very good, but, you know, it feels at this stage very much like there's an opportunity for somebody other than Cleveland to win the Eastern Conference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. I mean, you take LeBron James out the picture, but, you know, even with him, I think in order for Cleveland to go to the finals, he's going to have to be the best player in the world every single day. You know, he's going to have to be, it's not going to be, you know, one of those games where he has 18 points and, you know, 8 rebounds. He's going to have big games in order for this team, for the Cleveland Cavaliers to win. Because I just don't think their supporting staff, I won't say focus or just that ability, is difficult going back-to-back and being in these situations. But LeBron's going to have to be the best player. And that's a lot to ask for LeBron. You know, he can be that and he is that. But, you know, when you're trying to win a championship, everyone's going to have to step up. And they just can't rely on that one person. But I think Cleveland's really going to have to do that. Boston Celtics, you know, their team had a great regular season, but, you know, during the postseason, they had, you know, you have the, you know, the unfortunate situation with Isaiah Thomas, their big player, but, you know, even that team, you know, that's a smaller team. That's a team that's a great regular season team, but we don't know what they're going to do in the postseason. So it's wide open to your point. And hopefully the Raptors can pick it up on this end.
You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo in the win over the Raptors, we saw a couple of incidents. One, he drove in JV, and, you know, flexes his muscle at the end of the play. We saw him get into it a little bit, took a technical foul late in the game, you know, sort of punching the air with his fist after he rejected DeMar. DeRozan, DeMar sort of tried to get at him. Serge Ibaka got in between them and kind of put a bear hug on DeMar. And, you know, afterwards, you know, to his credit, Giannis said, look, you know, the referee made the right call. I overreacted. I got too excited. It's not going to happen again. But I got to ask you, Alvin, because I know Leo Routens and a couple other people made this comment. There is kind of that in-your-face aspect to playoff basketball where you do like to put a marker down in the other team's arena. How do you think the Raptors have to come out in Game 2? Do they have to try to do something physically to this Bucks team to try to get them out of their game?
You know, I think the Raptors, with their experience and their personnel, they have to just play basketball. They just have to play. And of course, you want to be physical. You want to make the opposing team, no matter who you're playing, feel you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want guys just going around, moseying around their court and doing whatever they want to do. You know, you want to put pressure on them. And once again, I was a little, you know, just and not being critical, because, you know, everyone, the Raptors, the coaching staff, everyone does their homework. But when you have someone like Thon Maker, a 20-year-old guy that's 100 pounds, guarding JV in the pool, I would have to make him pay. I would have to make certain people on that court pay. And that's where you make those adjustments. That's where you make people play night in and night out, you know, mm-hmm. and you have to put that pressure on them. So yes, to your point, you have to find a way to be physical, but I don't think you go out your way to do anything that to take you out your game, but you have to have your presence felt. You have to be the best team in that, whatever way that is. If that's mentally, if that's physically, you have to make that approach and you have to put that thumbprint on a game from the beginning and all the way to the end, because you want to send a message when we go to Milwaukee next time, and it's not going to be an easy battle.
Alvin, I'm going to ask you kind of an uncomfortable question to ask people around it, because we all know how much we like Dwayne Casey here. But, you know, Jason Kidd's been a Raptors killer in the past as a player, as a coach. You know, he's played for teams that Dwayne have been on. Is it possible that Jason Kidd really knows Dwayne Casey so much that this is a bit of an advantage for Milwaukee in this series?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's not uncomfortable. That's facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jason Kidd, he played for Dwayne Casey in Dallas when they won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Casey was assistant coach, so he knows him from every angle. Jason Kidd played against a Kyle Lowry. He played against a DeMar DeRozan. You know, when you have that type of information and you have that intel on your opponent, that always gives you an advantage. And then when you have the personnel that Jason Kidd has on that team that helps guard or that defensively guards the Toronto Raptors, of course he has a big time advantage. Now, mm-hmm. Coach Casey, being a good coach that he is, he has some type of advantage because he coached Jason Kidd. He's been around. So these guys know each other very well. But to your point, Jason Kidd has a big time advantage as far as a big time, you know, I think advantage that for as a former player,
mm-hmm.
as an intellectual player, and as a coach. He's prepared against this team a lot of times, all the way from his Brooklyn days.